sains, deduktif, aktivis, energi, artis, disco, kopi, astronot, akses, bisnis, radio kunci.
Okay, so we apparently we only have 25 minutes, so we should be fast. So I'm Sara Jimini, I'm the curator of Heterotopics, which is like the kind of the broader framework into which Kunci's residency here is happening. And here we have also Pim Westerkamp, who is a curator of Indonesia here at the Tropic Museum, which he joined in 2005. He has been trained as a cultural anthropologist and a dramaturg, and currently Pim is rethinking, together with his colleagues, the permanent exhibition of the Netherlands East Indies that we have discussed the whole day. And so I think I will try to kind of gather a few ideas and questions that emerged during the day. And I would like to tie back to what we've been discussing during Kunci's conversation with Wayne in the morning. So at some point they were talking about how important it is to trace back the genealogies, the trajectories of objects that found a place in the museum. And I was wondering whether this kind of retrospective gaze could also be applied to the museum itself. So whether we could kind of also trace these past gazes, layers, and trajectories to the museum, to the exhibition. So connecting to what you're doing now, so the rethinking of the exhibition, I'm like wondering whether this term decolonizing just means to erase what was there. Maybe it's erasing is just dangerous as much as keeping the past. Maybe like an interesting approach could be like to, again, like to trace back all these layers, or like addressing a loss, addressing a lack. And maybe this is what will happen with Kunci's guide, which will guide the future visitors to an exhibition that doesn't exist anymore. So yeah, I leave it to you to kind of react and answer to this thought. Maybe Pim, would you like to start? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So the process we're in now at this point is that. We merged with Volkenkunde and the Africa Museum in Bergendal in April 2014, and that was a, let's say, an interesting, not always easy process. Recently, the Wereld Museum in Rotterdam didn't become part of us, but we have what is called a professionele unie. So we work together with them in a very close way. that made us, we made plans for rearranging the exhibition, which I don't like to be called Netherlands East Indies anymore. I want to call it Indonesia, or a history of Indonesia. But I want to get rid of the Netherlands East Indies as a term. That in the end didn't go as we planned. So now we are together with another group decolonizing the museum. We are now planning to rewrite the text at the department, both the Southeast Asia department and the Future History of Indonesia working title department. And in the future, we want to make a new exhibition on the colonial period, not on the colonial period, what it was, but actually more the inheritance of the colonial period. And one of the things we keep in mind by rewriting the text, one of your remarks, Pamela, the museum has to ask questions. We noticed that the exhibition was made to raise questions with the public. And in the end, I think some of the questions were a bit too difficult to ask. So you also have to help the public by framing good questions and by guiding them in the thinking about the colonial period. But so in the at this point, we're now rewriting the texts, and the 17th of August is very prominent in those new texts. Then in the future, in a couple of years, we will make a complete new department on the colonial period. And working together with a lot of stakeholders, not just Kunchi, but also recognize the museum. I'm also in contact with, I hope she's still here, artist who was based in Amsterdam with an Indonesian background. That all helps us with thinking about how to tell different stories in new ways, because we have to deal with this building, which for me is an object in itself. I think it's very important that the building is there and that we are very conscious of it. And I think that at this point, the public who enters doesn't see all the images on the outside or take it for granted that they are naked or half naked, bare-breasted Balinese women depicted on the outside, or even which is not very easy to see anymore because of the erosion of the carving, but the tobacco plantation where a bare-breasted woman is feeding her little child who holds a cigarette, which in itself is a very strange image. But I don't think that people realize that it's there.
I think there are many keywords that lead us to the creation of the audio guide, and many of the things that presented by all the panelists in this symposium resonate with that. So we talk about archives, it means we talk about limitation and also whether or not we can access it. So the question about accessibility is important for us. Also talk about, previously we talk about power and sound as the, or voice as the, as a means for or domain for ordering things. And we always remember that sound as something that is monitored and governed. And these are the things that we are not, we don't forget about that, but these are the things that maybe are too familiar with us and too familiar. So I perceive the idea of creating the audio guide as partly to move from that familiarity zone and to be ready to being uncomfortable. So I think that's maybe I think that's the one thing that drives us to do that. Because I remember when Vicky first came here, he wrote a note in our blog, Notes of Heterotopics. He said that somehow the way he sees things here, it's not really, seems like not surprising. Mm-hmm. Or what's the word that you said? You are it's not really, it's not something that we really expected. But I think we want to activate that, mm-hmm. you know, here, because the situation where we are always in between, we can do this, the power, but also not having power. So we are. taking very seriously that, and that is why we are not since the very start, maybe even though we use the word decolonize, somehow we also have we are very ambivalent towards that term also, because we know that that might not be a word that totally fitting for us, because that's not the keywords that define the way we see things. So we try to see archives or anything that we encountered here through the limitation, sort of. So that's why we use in audio, the title of the audio guide is Outside and Within. The idea is to, like, we are here, but also maybe we intentionally or intuitively, like, moving outside the museum and bringing as many as we can from outside in order to look what is inside. So we have this, Fedi also mentioned it earlier, not decolonize, but also to, you know, like intersperse, maybe. Yeah, make punctures. So that's, I think, what we do. And also the performance, or, you know, the question about the sound and the performance that like hinted in the audio guide, maybe what we are trying to do there is to create like an ambience where we can go back and forth our own questions. So not necessarily bodily experience that you are brought from one point to another, but like also traveling through this kind of memories too, something that you might be familiar, but maybe something that you're not familiar with.
Yeah. Maybe I could also add to relate to our previous panels. I have two keywords that might be interesting to relate this to our audio guide. On the listening panel, we have the ideas of materiality of sounds, and the panelists talk about the objectivity of knowledge, which is somehow you can realize it, but somehow you don't really realize it. And on the second panel, we especially on Pamela and Wim, talk about appropriation. I mean, Wim also hinted about translation of the Dutch literature. And to relate this to our audio guide, I think it is also the idea of the audio guide might bring us into look at the colonial past as a trace that we could understand in the present situation as well.
Yeah, maybe because we are, this panel is dedicated to sensing,
yeah,
and to different senses. I wanted just to read like a small excerpt from your script of the audio guide. One of the main problems in the discourse of colonial history in the Netherlands is the lack of attempts in addressing them through everyday conversations. While we are at it, why not say bring in some foods that have both Indonesian and Dutch roots? I'm talking about croquettes that are sold in Fable, French fries with peanut sauce that is available in Smulers and other Indonesian restaurants in the city. So I think also this idea of like bringing in different ways of smelling, experiencing the museum also through audio and through this kind of evocative power of different practices, imaginations, and places is something that is interesting also from a curatorial perspective, and also deals with these issues of accessibility and the idea of using also the internet as a platform, because you can listen to the audio guide while being somewhere else in Indonesia, for instance, and so those that cannot be here in a way suddenly can be here, and there is this kind of dispersion of gazes and presences.
What about Smulers?
Well, that was one of the first things I told Vicky, that kip saté, as it is called in Dutch, saté ayam, has become a real Dutch food, although you do eat it with massive chunks and a very greasy peanut sauce and French fries, not with rice, or stokbrood, French baguette. Yes, I would love to bring food in the museum, but that's thinking about an exhibition, for example, about food, that's extremely problematic. We have rethought it several times over the last 10, 15 years, and it's very problematic. Smelling is another sense, of course. And there's a very small attempt. If you go into the cabinet or the room where Rumphius is, you can smell different Indonesian herbs, and especially the spices for which the Dutch went to Indonesia. About the trajectory of objects, if also this trajectory or genealogy of museum practices, and in the past the museum seems to have been very visually oriented, whereas in late 18th century visitors in certain museums could touch the objects, could feel the whether it was heavy or not, whether it was soft or hard. And that has all been disappearing in the museum, because now it's all behind glass. You can't really approach the object anymore. You have to see the object. Yeah. So yes, I felt very uncomfortable in the beginning when you started talking about sounds, and because I asked you, why am I not in the looking section? Why am I in the senses section? Because my own PhD research is also very much about the visual and about text. We are looking as well at different ways of bringing the senses within the museum, and it would be nice if we could do that with you and see how that helps us with further decolonizing the exhibitions and the museum.
I think to sense the archives for us is, as we are approaching the end of the residency, is to ask what should we do to make possible, you know, like an active engagement with all the things that presented here. Because we know that maybe there's not much we can do, you know, to do something like with that. There are too many barriers maybe that would not allow us to, you know, to do things the way we want. So I think would be you know, like more productive direction if asked what it means to sense the archive, and also maybe we can also ask the same questions to not only to the Tropen Museum but also to all the cultural institutions in the Netherlands, maybe, because this may be like the right time to ask that, like, what should the museum do to make possible, like, the engagement with the people that somehow share the history. I don't really like the shared history with the artifacts or archives here, because I remember that we, during our discussions among us, is as we are talking about or thinking about archives, we also led to think about, so what does heritage mean? I mean, for us, because now it feels that heritage might not be something that like come from, you know, above, something that inherited from like older generations to us, but something that also can be invented, you know, like can be created in totally different ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know, is there a question? Because yeah, you're out.
Testing. Like when you read the text, one of the things that I thought about is colonial amnesia, the amnesia of the colonial experience. So first, I would just give you some context. I'm Samoan. I'm a fellow here at the Research Center for Material Culture. So you have the Indonesian version, you have the Pacific version, which is me, and I'm Samoan. And there is an issue, and I'm part Japanese, and so there's an issue that's happening in Japan at the moment about how Japan always likes to see themselves as a victim of US imperialism, but they never like to see themselves as a colonizer of Micronesia, which is a similar case to, I think, to what's currently happening in this session today, where Indonesians like to see themselves as a victim of Dutch colonialism, but they don't like to see themselves as being a colonizer of West Papua. So within that, I would like to ask, how is it that you're going to highlight the colonizing position of Indonesia against West Papua in this future expansion?
Well, I think Kunchi can respond not about the future exhibition, but maybe about what you said in the audio guide, because this kind of ambivalent position towards Papua is actually very explicit, and we talked about it before already. I don't know if you want to add anything.
No.
Okay. So maybe another question?
Oh, maybe Pete can add.
Yeah.
Or maybe.
Maybe I can answer a bit. I don't think it will satisfy you, I think, but.
But who's the audience
to
satisfy?
Sorry?
But who's the audience that you need to satisfy?
No, I will try to give you an answer. In the construction of the museum, Papua is not part of Southeast Asia, thus hence the Indonesia section. It's a different story. And within the future exhibitions, I don't think that will change. Although, I mean, every point which is brought up, and now you bring a point, needs consideration, and we will think about it. Because it is a point in itself, yes. Although I don't really agree that Indonesia all see themselves as victims. I think they both have the a role as a victim, but also as people with an agency and acting against, in the colonial times, against the Dutch.
Talk to.
How about against West Papua? Against the Dutch, but how about against West Papua?
I think, yeah.
No, I'm not answering.
Okay, I want to ask.
But there is
no.
My question is actually towards Kunchi, and because you're talking about archive, and we know that who is the person who is holding the archive, collecting the archive, and taking care of the archive, is actually having a governing power over the archive. Can be seen as a government. So, and we know about, for me it was a surprise when I was in Netherlands to know that for demonstration you have to ask for permission. Well, I mean, you don't have to do it, but you should do it. Otherwise, okay, it's beside the point. Just bear with me and let me go on with this. I'm just talking about incorporating the dissent in certain kind of it's a kind of a strategy of controlling what is against, right? So So in thinking about decolonizing as being part of this institution, what do you think about this about requesting this heritage back to where it belongs? Instead of contributing to the archive that is in control of the government.
Yeah, it's actually the kind of that kind of questions has been going on within the local discourse regarding archives, especially because we've been living under this kind of myth, you know, that if you would like to know more about Indonesia or anything that would narrate the colonial past, that you need to go to the Netherlands, or so we've been living in that kind of myth. But maybe, of course, there are other things that are not kept in the Netherlands, but maybe in other places too. But what I want to point out here is the idea that about access, distance, knowledge, that the idea that you need to do travel, that's authority also, that's precisely the driving points, among other things, in our work. So when I was saying about the idea to bring something from the outside in order to look what is inside, is also partly to shake this authoritarian sense, not only within the museum, because of course there are many institutions that have that kind of authority towards archives or other documents. So to shake that authoritarian sense, that I think is important.
So we have to close, I guess. Okay, so thanks.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you to the... Wade wants to say something?
No.
Okay, thanks to the Tropic Museum, Wayne, Lisa, Pim, the Research Center for Material Culture. Big thanks to Kunchi, and we can continue to chat in more informal ways at the cafe later.
Just from our side, we would also like to say thanks. Lisa asked me if I could wrap up on our side. And one of the things that I, at the end of the discussion, became very germane is our conversation that actually Paul Biles started to ask the question of citizenship. And I'm interested in that question precisely because what we've been discussing here is these contestations over belonging. Over belonging in both senses of the word. What belongs to, but also who do we belong to or where. So if one asks a question, and I'm going to raise it here about Papua, one needs to also, it is true that in any colonial regime, one needs to understand that even the very notion of freedom for which we fight is something that is so complex, because once in 2015, while we were celebrating Bevrijdingsdag here, it was the same 70 years that Indonesia was celebrating as their own freedom, struggle for freedom against the Netherlands, which was the same moment that Suriname, 40 years before that, had gotten their freedom. So one of the things that we are interested in is, and why this is important for us, is exactly to also be able to bring these contestations on the table, to be able to speak them, but also to be able to use them in the exhibitions themselves as moments of provocation for us to think about what it means that in this entangled, intertangled, complex world, these frictions happen, these definitions, these ways we try to understand things are always in contest. And that's why I will say to Paul that actually getting totally bogged down with the term decolonization might sometimes be difficult, but I see the act of decolonizing knowledge
and any institution as a project, one that will not end tomorrow or end wherever, because as I've always said, 400 years of colonization will not end in 2 weeks or with one activist movement or with whatever. It must be a big project that we are participating in. And the question then is, how do we do that in the moment that we do it? Because somebody after me will tell me that I didn't do it good enough. But I must be committed to the fight to be able to say that the work that is necessary to be done is a work that structures inequality in the ongoing colonial, or structures equality in the ongoing colonial. That is the work that we're supposed to be doing. So it is for that reason why we're happy that Sarah brought this project to us, that Kunchi was here, and that you could be a part of this, because at the end of the day, the battle must go on as we try to create new narratives, new ways of experiencing the past. And as Anstola said, it's not really the past. It is the durabilities of the colonial that still structure our ongoing relationships in the present. And that is the work that we need to be doing. Thank you. And please.
Scenes, deductive, activists, energy, artists, disco, copy, astronaut, axes, business, radio concy.
The recording was created as part of Kunchi Research Residency at Drapan Museum under Heterotropics 2. Heterotropics is a long-term research and curatorial project initiated by Amsterdam-based curator Sarah Giannini and organized in collaboration with the art platform TAAK. Unfolding through different chapters and collaborations, it investigates the immaterial and material remnants of colonial desire in the city of Amsterdam. Heterotropics 2 is realized with the kind support of the Research Center for Material Culture, Amsterdam's Fonds for de Kunst, and Prins Bernhard Kulturfonds.